Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
And as Bowen says, U.S. intervention in Syria would push that conflict into new and unknown territory. But in many ways, the politics and language being used in this debate feel very familiar. There's a specter hanging over the Syria debate, the specter of Iraq.
Ours was a great country before it became a great nation. Those values do not include striking first at other countries, at other nations. Those values do not include using our position as the strongest and most formidable nation in the world to bully and intimidate other nations.
That's the late Democratic Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia speaking on the Senate floor in October 2002 during the Iraq War debate, the last time Congress, the President, and the American people engaged so deeply over the question of military intervention. Byrd was obviously in the minority. On October 11, 2002, the Senate voted 77-23 to authorize military force in Iraq. The House had approved the measure a day earlier. And today, nearly 200 lawmakers who took part in those votes are still in Congress. Gail Chadwick was covering Congress for the Christian Science Monitor in the run-up to the Iraq War. She's Washington political editor at the Monitor now, and she joins us from the Monitor studios in Washington. Gail, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be with you, Meg.
It's great to have you, Gail. So we want to talk a little bit about similarities and dissimilarities between the Syria debate and the Iraq War debate. But first, take us back to 2002 and remind us of the context. 9/11 had just happened a year before that. What was the political climate like?
Well, go back to those attacks. And 3 days after the attacks, Congress is asked to vote on a resolution to use force in Afghanistan. That vote is unanimous. Public opinion was 82% in favor. There wasn't the slightest doubt in the world that national interests were involved. But in the subsequent year, people had a chance to remember that this president was elected on a contested vote and was claiming a mandate that no president ever had before. And the rumblings began with his State of the Union address in 2002 when he talked about the axis of evil, and got more serious in the summer when he introduced, or September rather, when he introduced a new national security strategy that said, look, you can act not just when there is an imminent or immediate threat, but when there is an emerging threat, the kind of doctrine of preemption. Now, that concerned a lot of members of Congress. What do you mean you can act when there isn't an immediate threat? And by the time the debate came around, you saw a lot more settled opposition, Senator Byrd being Exhibit A. But I think that was the context, that we're just very, we have a president that we don't trust. Many Democrats didn't trust him, and he's going further than any president ever has before. Nonetheless, the resolution passed, and Senator Byrd gave an even more eloquent speech back in February when he said, we stand passively mute.
Wow. Well, we're speaking with Gail Chadwick, Washington political editor for the Christian Science Monitor, about similarities and dissimilarities between the Syria debate and the Iraq War debate in 2002. There's a lot more to dig into, and we'll do so right after the break. Stick with us here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we're back with our look at the congressional debate that took place ahead of the Iraq War in 2002 and 2003. And we're doing so as this week Congress is weighing a resolution on whether or not to intervene militarily in Syria. We're speaking with Gail Chadwick, Washington political editor for the Christian Science Monitor. And Gail, there are a lot of aspects of the debate that do feel familiar, so let's dig into some of them. First and foremost, the rationale for military intervention. I mean, people will recall that back in 2002, the Iraq War was largely sold on the notion that Saddam Hussein was acquiring weapons of mass destruction and that he may have had direct ties to al-Qaeda. We were talking about 9/11 being a driving force back in 2002. Both of those claims turned out to be false, but let's listen back to then-Secretary of State Colin Powell, who in 2003 told the United Nations that he had, or the administration, the Bush administration, had solid evidence that Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction.
the Iraqis have never accounted for all of the biological weapons they admitted they had, and we know they had. They have never accounted for all the organic material used to make them. This is evidence, not conjecture. This is true. This is all well documented.
Well, and today in the current debate over Syria, we're hearing some similar things from Secretary of State John Kerry. Here's a little bit of tape from him as he testified before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee last week.
Only the most willful desire to avoid reality can assert that this did not occur as described or that the regime did not do it. It did happen, and the Assad regime did it.
So, Gail, the certainty of evidence, even though the evidence, in truth, is not necessarily certain, that absolutely seems like a similarity between 2002 and today.
Well, there are little differences here, significant ones, actually. One, Saddam Hussein, it turns out, did not have weapons of mass destruction, but no one doubts that Syria has lots of chemical weapons. They've used them in the war with Iran. Some say with U.S. support, and there's a lot of evidence that these weapons have been used. The question is there a smoking gun that goes straight to this regime? Now, the another difference you can't see on radio is all the charts and images mm-hmm. that Colin Powell had. He had transcripts of intercepts. He had images of, you know, satellite sites that are supposed to represent where Saddam Hussein is going back and rebuilding his chemical weapons weapons of mass destruction capacity. What we have not seen from John Kerry is similar data.
Although he made references to videos that even the public could see.
Well, videos of what happened afterwards, yes, but what we're looking for here is something that connects it to the regime. That's the piece of evidence that the allies are asking for, that the UN report will not help with, actually. The UN isn't set up to answer that question. But that's the question that critics in Congress are looking for an answer, and that's the question that allies are looking for. Do we have the right? Is it the regime that ordered this hit?
Mm-hmm. I take your point.
And they're waiting for Kerry to release some of these transcripts.
Yeah, Gail, I take your point about the differences in the two scenarios. And yet the lack of trust regarding intelligence is something that does seem to be rearing its head this time around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember, we have had some of these previous war decisions, you know, from the Gulf of Tonkin to go into Vietnam to the Persian Gulf War, there's a generation there of not much serious discussion about war. We've been in a state of war, if you could consider the Persian Gulf War in early 1900s, right? 1990,
yeah.
And then 1991, and then we're up to 10 years of war with Iraq. So all of these questions that take members of Congress who are new to war a while to figure out are right on everyone's thought, and they're right on the thought of the public. That's an even bigger thing. The public doesn't trust the intelligence. That wasn't true back with Afghanistan. It was barely true with Iraq. It is emphatically true now because of the memory, the recent memory of the Iraq experience.
Hmm. Gail, let's talk about another aspect of this debate. Just over the weekend in his weekly radio or video address, President Obama said that chemical weapons might fall into the hands of terrorists who might use them against us, and that that it is a serious threat to American national security. Now, this question of the threat to American security did also come up in the 2002 Iraq War debate. We've got some tape of then-Senator Hillary Clinton, Democrat of New York, speaking in her support for military intervention in Iraq.
It is clear, however, that if left unchecked, Saddam Hussein will continue to increase his capacity to wage biological and chemical warfare and will keep trying to develop nuclear weapons. Should he succeed in that endeavor, he could alter the political and security landscape of the Middle East, which, as we know all too well, affects American security.
Gail, do you think the argument about a threat to U.S. national security is as persuasive in the Syria case as it was in the Iraq case?
No, and the president himself has said that. When he was in Russia over the weekend, he gave a press briefing that I thought was fascinating. He said, the reason I'm bringing this to the Congress is that the threat is not imminent. It is not immediate. And that's why we need a political discussion. As commander-in-chief, if it was, I could act. This is why it's going to the Congress. So in a way, that's going back to Bush's preemptive war doctrine again, that this is a fuzzy area. It isn't like 9/11, where we had just lost the towers and nearly 3,000 people. It's not as clear. That's why the evidence becomes so clear.
Now, there's other issues such as the fact that today President Obama is saying this will be a limited intervention, no boots on the ground. President George W. Bush, of course, sent troops into Iraq. But in both cases, they were promising something that would essentially be very quick and cheap. And in the Iraq case, it was not true at all.
Oh, no. And that's your, again, the hearings that we're hearing with members of Congress, even the freshmen, they're asking very sophisticated questions on this point. For example, you say it's going to be a short war and there won't be boots on the ground. Okay, can we put into the resolution absolutely no U.S. combat forces on the ground in Syria? And Secretary Kerry said, well, we don't want to say that because that we don't know what might happen. We don't want to tie the hands. At which point the critics are saying, exactly. Exactly. We don't know what's going to happen, and therefore this is a much more serious step than it's a quick signal. No one believes in a splendid little war anymore.
Gail, we've got just about 30 seconds or so to go. I feel like I have to ask, even though we are doing this exercise of comparing the two, is it a useful one? Because there are a lot of people out there who say you cannot compare the Iraq war debate to the Syria debate because so much is different.
Well, the questions are identical. Is the evidence credible? Do we have a capacity to actually make things better? And that's a question that's being raised on the right-hand side of the Republican Party with the Libertarians and on the left-hand side of the Democratic Party with, people who have been loyal to this president absolutely throughout his administration and now are breaking with him on that very point.
Well, Gail Chadwick is Washington political editor for the Christian Science Monitor in Washington. Thank you so much, Gail.
You're welcome.
Listeners, let us know what you think. Should we be comparing the Syria debate to the Iraq war debate? Let us know at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login at constantcontact.com. And Gentle Giant Moving Company, coordinating moves in neighborhoods across the country with locations nationwide. More at gentlegiant.com.